Most of us are familiar with the chilling words of Satan that we find in Job chapter 1. It says in verse 8, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil.' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to the face.'" Chilling. Satan's charge was like this: "God, it is no wonder that Job serves you. It is no wonder that he is doing what is right. It is no wonder that he fears you, that he is blameless, that he is an upright man. Why? Because you put a hedge around him. Nothing evil can touch him." And of course, we know that Job was a wealthy man. He was rich in family, 10 children. He was rich in livestock. We read about it in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so the chilling words of Satan were, "God, take away that hedge." Verse 11, "Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to the face." Not just a curse, but a curse to the face. These were the chilling words of Satan. But we know, as the story continues, everything was taken away from Job. Everything. The livestock, the harvest, the produce on the land. 10 children. Can you imagine having 10 children and you lose every single one of them? The question that we are asking today, the challenge that Job came to, is sometimes the challenge that we come to. We also have decisive moments in our lives. It's likely not that we are losing 10 children. It is likely not that we are losing all of our livestock, so to say, or everything that we possess materially. But we all come to decisive moments in our lives. Have you ever thought the question, "God, why is this happening to me?" When your health is failing you, when your marriage is failing you, when the finances are failing you, and you might say, "Well, I have another one." And somebody else would say, "I have still another one." But I believe we can say that we all come to decisive moments in our lives where we come to the question, "Who is God really for me? Why am I serving God in the first place?" Today we want to talk about four incentives why we should or may, I would like to say rather, serve God. The first incentive why we serve God is founded upon love. And I believe we can say the same thing about Job. Because ultimately we know that Job said, God has given, God has taken, blessed be the name of the Lord. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we read the words, we love him because he loved us first. This morning we talked about hope in our Bible study, and we saw that it is God that begot us to a new and a living and a vibrant hope. We said this morning in our Bible study, it was sin that separated us from God. But as John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, but God so loved the world. And you can put in your own name. For God so loved Pascal that he gave his only begotten son, because God knew that Pascal could not save himself. It was love that caused God to bring Jesus Christ into this world. It was God that caused Jesus to go to the cross. It was God that brought Jesus to his death on the cross. Brother, as you just read with the Lord's Supper, in order to establish the second, in order that we would be sanctified. Brothers and sisters, it is a gift. As the book of Ephesians tells us, it is by grace that you are saved. It is by grace that you are saved. Maybe sometimes we have to read these words to ourselves a few more times. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but it is God who is rich and abundant in mercy. So yes, I truly believe that when we look at God, when we look at heaven, when we look at the cross, when we look at Jesus, when we look at the Holy Spirit, when we look at everything that God has been doing for us, and even from the very foundation of the world, the foundation of humankind on the earth, when we truly realize what God has done for us, then we can say we love him because he first loved us. And then, and I say this with due respect, when things are taken away from us, do we stop serving God? When things are hard in our marriage, do we stop serving God? Puppy, when your health is failing, do we stop serving God? When the financial burden is hard, do we stop serving God? No, because it was founded upon love. It was founded upon agape love. It was founded on the cross. It was founded in Jesus Christ. And you know what the beautiful thing is about this kind of love? In 1 John chapter 4, we read verse 18, but let us also read verse 18. In verse 18 it says this, there is no fear in this kind of love. Isn't that beautiful? That kind of love, that heavenly love, there is no fear. The old question is, what do people fear most? It's fear. What people fear most. People have many different fears. So it is fear that we fear the most. And that is what godly love does. It casts out all fear. And of course, we talk about the wrong fear. This is what it is. We serve God not because we have to. We serve God not because our parents told us to. We serve God because we recognized His love for us. And that kind of love, that is the first incentive. That should be our first motivator. That should be the only reason why we serve God in the first place. The second incentive is based upon wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says these words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Brothers and sisters, what is wisdom? Some of us might say, well, we need to teach our children to go to school. We need to teach our children to develop themselves. And of course, all those things are good. All those things are right. But it should never be at the expense of knowing God. Sometimes this can even be a warning to parents. Yes, help your children to become the best human being, if I may say it in those words, as possible. Help your children to use their gifts, but never at the expense of knowing God. That is the most important wisdom you can give to your child. And I know, parents, everybody wants the best for their children. Everybody wants their children to become good in what they are gifted in. Everybody wants their children to have a good future, which is based on using the wisdom and the knowledge that you have been given. But parents, understand this. If you don't teach your children to know God, primarily and first of all, something is not quite right. What is wisdom? Who is truly wise? Well, we have a beautiful example in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews gives us an example, and it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Egypt has always been a country, especially in Bible history, they have always been known for their strength. They have always been known for their horses. They have always been known for their military power. They have always been known for finding those things that were good on a human level. So guess what? There was a time, there was a moment, so to say, when Pharaoh said to Moses, Moses, I can give you a wonderful life. You don't have to work. Just spend your day at the palace. Enjoy what we have. enjoy all the good things of Egypt. And then God came. God says, Moses, I have a task for you. I want you to go with my people. I want you to go into that desert. I want you to suffer affliction with my people. What did Moses choose? And here it comes down to wisdom. What did Moses choose? Did he choose all the luxury of the earth? Or did he choose a relationship with God? He chose a relationship with God. Because what does it say? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses realized all those earthly things, it gives a timely pleasure for a certain moment. And then, of course, it says in the latter part of the verse, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. That's the key. That was the wisdom of Moses. Moses said, I'm not only looking at the temporal, I'm looking at the eternal. I am looking at what comes after. Brothers and sisters, young people, this is an important lesson to each one of us. There are many things in this life that seems pleasant, that seems really good. And they are to a certain degree. That is why it is so difficult. Temptation is difficult. Why? Because there is a luring when it comes to the pleasures of this world. But what did Moses do? Moses was a man of wisdom, and he said to Pharaoh, no, I don't need your palace, I don't need those horses. In 2024 language, I don't need your Bentleys, I don't need your Ferraris, I don't need your villas, I don't need your big boats, I don't need your Skidos, I don't need all of that. I am going with God and rather suffer affliction. What is the key? The key is wisdom. The key is he looked to the reward. He looked to the whole. And that is so important for us, brothers and sisters, even today. We need to be wise. The Bible says, it is appointed for man once to die. And after that, the judgment. When does death come? And the answer is nobody knows. We are not here to scare anyone. But next week, there will be people that have died and buried that are probably quite well today, at least on the outside. Brothers and sisters, what is wisdom? Wisdom says, I am going to serve God. Wisdom says, as Joshua said, whatever you do, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is wisdom. And that is the second incentive. The third incentive we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The Ecclesiastes writer, of course, speaks from the perspective of this earth. When he speaks about all the perspectives of the earth, he says in chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, the last two verses, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Brothers and sisters, do you ever think about your life? Do you think about the plans that you are making? You think about the schooling, you think about your job, you think about your work, you think about investments, you think about your pension, you think about your insurance. And of course, all these things are good, but remember, this life is not about us. This life is about God. God is the author of life. God is the one that created this world. God is the one that created the animals. God is the one that created the sun and the moon and the mountains and everything. God is the one that created us. And as Isaiah chapter 43 tells us, why did God create us? For His glory. We are here not on our agenda. We are here on God's agenda. So that is why the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Now, I do believe that when we consider this thought a little bit on a more deeper level, God loves us. So whatever God wants for our lives is good. Whatever God has designed our lives to be, it is good. Whatever God has done for us, it is all designed that we will reach that fruition in our lives. It will, by doing His will, we will reach that point where we can say, we have the peace of God that surpasses the understanding. God is good, even when He says, this is man's all. God is good, even says, put away your own agenda and put yourself in my agenda. God is good, because God knows if we follow our own agenda, what happens? A lot of chaos. Not everything, of course. But ultimately, when people do what they do, what they want to do themselves, what is the result? Chaos. We want the proof? Open up the newspaper tomorrow morning, and you find the result of what people want to do on their own accord. That is why, brother, you said it correctly this morning. It's all about God. It's all about being sanctified. It's all about being set apart for a reason, for a purpose. The fourth incentive is founded upon gratitude. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says it in very simple words. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Brothers and sisters, we talked about creation already. But who created this world, the world that we are living in? It is God. Who made the breakfast that we ate this morning? It is God. Who gave us the feet by which we move? It is God. Who gave us the eyes by which we see? It is God. When we look at all the good blessings of life, and I emphasize when we look at all the good in life, it all comes from God. So Ephesians chapter 5 tells us about the fourth incentive, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine being a parent. You go off to work in the morning and you come home at night and you see police cars in your streets, in the street. You see firefighters in the street. You see some smoke. And the closer you come, the more you realize that might be my house. And then when you come closer and closer, you see that your whole house is black. The windows are out, the roof is gone, and you ask, and you start to scream, where is my wife? Where are my children? And then little by little, you learn that there was a neighbor who was courageous enough to go into your house to get your wife and your five children. And they are all safe and sound. And then you ask, but what happened to the man? Then they say, well, he's in the hospital. In het brandwondencentrum. What would be your thought? Look into the eyes of your children. Look into the eyes of your wife, your husband. Would you not be eternally grateful to that man, to that person that rescued your wife and your children? And he himself got burned to the third degree. Would that not be impressive? Well, as we sometimes say, that might be just a small way of illustrating God, who God is for us. So, brothers and sisters, the fourth incentive is based on gratitude. Who gave us our breath? Who gave us our hair? Who gave us our eyes? Who gave us our ears? Who gave us our children? Who gave us? Brothers and sisters, we close with some words from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Brothers and sisters, if our relationship with God is as it can be, everything can be taken away from us, and we can still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us look into our hearts. Why are we serving God? Because if you don't serve God from the right incentives, I can guarantee you a tough life. Life is already tough. But life without good incentives in serving God makes it even harder. Amen. Amen.